We're back again. Yay! Yay! So today I'm feeling pretty good and uplifted and ready to start our next topic.
Yes, we are really excited about, we actually have kind of two books we wanted to go over today. And the first one is The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton. And the second is, I don't know if we have one specific book by this author, but his work is, I think the book more people are familiar with is called The Hidden Messages of Water or In Water by Dr. Emoto. And both are very interesting and they do have some similarities. So I think we decided it might be fun to combine our reviews for both of them.
And as we
how was your day before we get into things? Do you have a good day today?
I had a wonderful day. It went really fast and because it just flew by. Because I was enjoying myself, I guess. I was working and here we are now at whatever time it is tonight when we finally both connected. And how was your day?
Today was also a very busy day for me, a very good busy. Had a few mishaps in the day, nothing major, but had a little plumbing issue earlier in the day, but we were able to take care of that rather quickly, but it did involve some cleanup this evening after all of my clients had left for the day and everybody got home from their evening. We rented a rug doctor and did our cleaning duty. And it was a good message for me because, you know, we had kind of some rough spots throughout the day, but we could choose how we wanted to view that.
And you kind of cleaned your environment up.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of what
done early.
Exactly. Let me see. We're talking about messages from water, and you had a water issue. Mm-hmm. And then we're talking about biology of belief, mm-hmm. which is the way you look at things in your environment. I think you just covered it with that plumbing issue with no intended. Sorry.
Yeah, it was very interesting that came up today when we knew we were going to be discussing these topics. And so it was, I really knew that, you know, I had a choice to make. I could really be grumbly about it, or you just say, well, good, you know, it could have been worse. It could have, you know, it could have happened when we were away. If we hadn't caught it, though, you know, we could have had more water in more places, and we didn't. So, you know, when you can find that bright side, it really made the day flow much easier. So,
and maybe it was just for a podcast, so we had something to talk about, Becky.
Exactly. It was perfect. So, you know, I was just thinking that actually was a pretty good segue into our first book, The Biology of Belief, written by Dr. Bruce Lipton. I believe it was published in 2009. Is that correct,
That's
Shelley?
When I recall it, and I looked up it because I did write a paper on that when I was jumping through hoops going to taking some college classes. So that's pertinent. It's 10 years later. It's 10 years later.
Wow.
It's 2019. Yeah. So 10 years now, it's becoming a little bit more mainstream. He was ahead of his time way back when, and basically in the book. I don't know, should I just jump into the book? I don't know.
Yep, you just jump in. So let's talk about his background is. He's got a PhD. He does doesn't he work in the field of genetics and stem cell research?
Correct. No. He did stem cell research. I don't know if he's doing that now any longer, but that's where he used to be a professor. It was in Wisconsin. And then he went on to helping med students to become doctors. And then he was doing research, and he only did 6 classes a day or something because the research paid for everything else. So he didn't have whatever, however that works with college. But anyway, he ended up going to this island doing pre-med for people. And basically these students, this is their last resort because they were flunking out a regular and they wanted to be doctors. So they it tells a little bit of a story. I mean, the beginning of the book, it tells about the basics of biology, which can be a little dry, but he made it kind of funny. He makes it a realistic story. It's about him, but he also puts the science part in it. So that's kind of fun, I think. And then his story that really got me is about how he was able to teach these students that were, this is their last resort. They had to like shed all their beliefs basically, because if they didn't pass this, then they're not going to be doctors. This is it. So he had a whole new framework to present it in. His environment changed, being on an island, and these students were all different backgrounds. And what he found is the stronger ones helped the weaker ones so they could all be cohesive. So that was a nice part of it too, but it was talking about the learning environment. And then from there, he progressed through the book of his findings with the cells and how he presented to the students. And now where he's at now, showing that our environment, not our genes, our environment creates who we are. Just because our genes and our family say we have certain things, like we're predisposed to, you know, cancer, all this other stuff. It's really our belief about it and the environment we're in and what we nurture and will grow. So having said that, though, that's the positive, but we forget how powerful we are with the negative stuff that will make that stuff manifest. We always talk about positive thinking, all that positive stuff, but what if you're not doing that? That's where dis-ease comes from. Anyway, that's a little synopsis of the whole book.
I like it. I like it. I know so I'm looking up, you know, summary points from different
people. I probably went off on a tangent. Sorry, Becky.
No, that's quite all right. But he's basically studying in the field of epigenetics. So that's the field that's focused on how the environment influences our genetic expression. So what it's saying is that our nutrition and stress and emotions can and do indeed modify our genes. You know, and I have heard people refer to it. It's the environment, stupid. I think that's funny because it is. It is. The way he describes things in the book makes it very easy to understand when he's going through the makeup of the cell. Like, it is a little bit dry, but you kind of need a little bit of that background to understand where he takes it in later chapters. But the title of the book, The Biology of Belief, is right on point. Our emotions are essentially the language of our subconscious mind. And those emotions influence every single one of our cells. Case in point, the placebo effect. So if I handed you a pill, Shelley, and said, this will cure your sore leg. And you say, great, Becky just gave me this pill. She says it's going to cure my sore leg. And you take a few doses of said pill. And you said, wow, my leg, it feels great. And I say, hey, Shelly, you know that pill I gave you? It was a sugar pill. There wasn't any real medicine in there. But here's the point. The medicine was the belief about what you thought that pill could do for you. Because I told you what that pill was going to do for you. That is what the placebo effect is. There's also what he refers to as the nocebo effect. And that
is the one I was talking about.
Those negative beliefs. So, you know, think about in your daily life, you know, how our negative belief systems that are in place that we don't even realize are in place because they're kind of buried in our subconscious. But they're part of a hard frame operating system. How that colors our choices, how it helps us or hinders us from making big decisions in our life, which direction to go, maybe what we want to do with jobs, or, you know, how do we handle family issues? I mean, it's huge, don't you think?
Yeah. It's our subconscious and our conscious mind, and the belief, where did we get those beliefs? Are they borrowed because that's what we were told, or do we truly believe? And I think that's where it comes into play, different modalities, such as your biofeedback, such as my myofascial release. Since these are our passions, well, we, of course, are kind of biased. So this probably will be coming from our framework that you're working. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you're working to change the subconscious patterns that are not healthy, or not a healthy, happy way for your being to be.
Exactly. Or how,
would that be the correct way? Because when I'm working with people, it's about belief systems that go, you're checking in with it. What is a better, healthier way for you to be? What if this didn't feel like this? And so you're switching that programming by mirroring it back a different way. You're mirroring it back with frequencies. I'm mirroring it back with verbiage and hand work. Just a different approach, just a different path, but the same outcome. And this is what he's presenting it in scientific form, so people can understand it another way. So the more you hear, the more repetition, the more we change. Then we can see, we can check in with ourselves. Is this my belief, or was this a belief that was just because of my environment? Is that really true for me? Did I just borrow it, or where did that come from? Because was I younger and I didn't see it in another way? And la 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 la.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what I like about that is when we can take a step back from our situation and ask ourselves, do I really believe this? Or take, for example, and I'm sure a lot of people are considering this, what is our belief around money? You know, where did our beliefs about money come from? Did they come from what we saw around us? Did it come from someone else's belief about money? Because you and I both know that there are as many beliefs about money and what the right way to earn it, what the wrong way to earn it, you know, there are many beliefs about money, and we hold on to our own set of beliefs, and someone else holds on to their own set of beliefs. And it is very interesting that once you start taking a look at your own beliefs, take a step back and say, well, does this belief hold true in somebody else's case? Can you find somebody around you in your field, through social media or on the news, that is doing something outside of your belief system? Absolutely, you can. So the first step in changing some of those subconscious beliefs is to find out if there are other beliefs out there. Are other things possible beyond your set of beliefs? And when you see that other things are possible, like that belief, you know, isn't true for that person, that opens up a possibility. It opens up a new paradigm. Maybe creates a new set of neural pathways in the brain for you to say, oh, maybe there is another way to approach this. What do you think?
Or I would say, you know, take what works for you, leave the rest, and that can change. It can change as you grow and learn more things. Yeah. And just think, when you were talking about money, what came to my mind is, you know, the environment you grow up, if you believe that you're going to make money, it's even if you don't know anything, you already believe you made money, so it already is going to be coming. See what I'm saying already there? Because you have that belief, because you don't know any different. So why
wouldn't right. you? There's nobody. Yeah, there's nobody telling you no.
Because you've always you've been from a rich family. You're going to be a rich family. Because right. you it, know no mm-hmm. other experience. Saying Absolutely. The same thing the opposite way. So to change that paradigm, there comes the effort, the work, the repetition, mm-hmm. the repetition, that belief system. That's why mantras, that's why all that. But there has to be mm-hmm. action with it also, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, because that's why when you read a book and you learn all the self-help stuff and you learn all that stuff, you know all the stuff, but it hasn't gotten into your hard drive. You know it. Right. It's there, but it's not in your whole being. It's you're still playing mm-hmm. the old programs. So when we say changing your belief system, it's really deleting programs and putting new programs mm-hmm. in is another way. Absolutely. Or would you say that's not? That's how I kind of look at it. You know?
No, like, I like it.
Like when you get a new iPad, there's mm-hmm. there's no it, you plug it in, there's nothing on there,
right? You have
right?
to add
so the, you have to upload new programs that you want. Now then you go, well, this mm-hmm. program I don't use at all. Why don't I delete it and create up some space? Right. So it's mm-hmm. using that. Look at us. We're using computers, really, of what we actually do naturally, but we didn't know that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Computers are kind of a really good analogy for how we create and store information for ourselves. But, you know, bringing us back to
the book.
Yeah.
the book. The book
this
Becky.
Is all about
a That's
book,
what Becky is
right?
to keep me on track.
It's about a book.
Well, yeah. So we talked about what is the belief systems and how the environment's created. But just like I think in the book, he also talks about he did about rats and how not being touched. You know, and how that being an environment that you're not touched in, how that affects us. And then other stressors in our body, which then, you know, that puts different chemicals in our systems. And or when we're growing up and you see you fall down in the park and we look to our adults around us. And does that adult respond like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. Oh, or does that adult go, oh, just pick yourself up. You know, so those are all factors. So they're teaching us how to live in the environment. So if you were in a chaotic, your mom was always panicky, it creates that environment and your system has that program. Even though mm-hmm. now you know that's not right, it's still running, that sub program still running in the background.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when you think about that, you know, when people say we become our parents, it's because of the programming, unless we consciously
right.
change that.
Who's the driver, right? Just like when we're driving mm-hmm. down the road, right? We're driving down the road and having a conversation or talking on the phone. mm-hmm. Then we go, what did we do? Are we already here? You know, we're at our destination and we missed it all. So that's the subconscious doing the automatic stuff. That's doing mm-hmm. the automatic. That's on. That's driving because we've done it so many times that subconscious pattern is coming out. But we could talk. Mm-hmm. We remember what we were talking about, but we didn't remember how we got there with the car.
Right, because part yeah, and just think of how much of our daily life runs on autopilot. And I do believe I listened to an interview with Bruce Lipton, where he said that 70% of our daily thoughts and autopilot programming is negative. Well, that sucks. But the good news is that
we can change that.
We can control that. We can control our destiny. We can control
our beliefs.
What's exciting me about this is that, you know, we're all struggling from stress. Life is busy. We don't take the time or have the time to do what we feel we need to do for self-care. But the good news is that our minds are really, really powerful. A perfect example, my daughters have had bouts of anxiety. They have gotten themselves so anxious about things. One example in particular, my daughter said, I can't do this event that's coming up. I can't. When I think about this, I get a headache. I get really nauseous. I'm sure I am going to throw up. I'm not going to be able to leave the house and I said, okay, so when does this happen? When do you have these physical sensations? Well, every time I think about going off and doing this thing at school, like I can't do it. And so what I remind them is, I'm like, okay, every time you think about that event, you get a physical sensation that's not fun. It's a negative physical sensation. And I said, look at how powerful your mind is. I said,
so what if you used our power for good, right?
Yes, I always say use that power for good. And
imagine it a different way. It's this indicator that it's something stressful, but imagine how would it feel if you didn't feel like that during this event.
Exactly.
It's the imagination that's so powerful.
Yeah,
powerful.
Our subconscious mind cannot, it cannot distinguish. How does this work?
A dream. Because even if a dream happens, your body thinks it's real. Like,
right.
And just like for athletes too. You know, you imagine yourself lifting weights and working out, your body doesn't know the difference.
Right. Yeah, your body can't tell if it's imagining.
That's how powerful it is. So if you believe blah, 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 then you are blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You are absolutely what you think you are. Your biology is your biography.
Yes.
Your biology is your biology. That's good.
Yeah.
I said it backwards. Yeah, the biography. Yeah. So what you talk about yourself, what you write about yourself, is what your cells are going to be. So are you in a cell, or are you creating a cell?
Right.
Get it? Cell, and jail. Are you putting yourself in jail? Are you creating something great? You know, I'm going to throw in, because I know we're coming up this other mark. And we just talked about one book. So I think leading up into the next segment, we'll take a little short little break and go into the next book. But what comes to mind is it's from Lao. Watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your action. Watch your actions. They become your habit. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny.
Yes.
So true. So there it is, the words. And that would lead right into, when we're talking about words, into our next book.
I like it.
But I think, Becky, you had something you wanted to share, because I can't remember. About taking time to subscribe to our podcast and taking time to maybe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep on going with that.
So we're just going to keep going with these podcasts because it's fun. And Shelly and I talk a lot about these things. So we just decided, why don't we share it? Because maybe, hopefully, someone will find some value in it.
Plus, Becky, we talk this long anyway, and just to talk, we might as well share what we're talking about.
Right. And people, they may think we're interesting. We'll take our chances and let the chips fall where they may.
It doesn't matter. We're having fun.
Exactly. We enjoy it. So anyway, what we wanted to let our listeners know is, if you enjoy the content, if you enjoy listening to our banter, please rate our podcast and share it with one other person that you think it might resonate with. If not, that's okay.
And also, but we're making links. Go ahead. You can say that.
Oh, yes. So, and if you want to reach us with any suggestions, questions, comments, you can shoot us an email at pathsofempowerment@gmail.com. And we are also going to have, we're going to create an Instagram account that's just for this podcast as well. That will be up and running soon.
And that is on Becky's plate. 48 hours. That is Becky on Becky's plate, and she likes deadlines. So here's the deadline to the universe.
That is on my that is on my to-do list. So I've just put it out there. I have declared it will be out.
You have
it
no backing out of that one now, Becky.
I can't get it. Yes, it is. It's on my to-do list.
And then
not
also,
tonight, but tomorrow morning.
If someone would like to be on the podcast with a question, I believe if you go download the Anchor app and then go that route to our podcast, you can then leave a voice message to us if you're so inclined.
Yes. And that, and just so you know, if you do leave us a voicemail message through the Anchor app, you may be on or included in our next podcast. Also, if you have any suggestions for topics you want to cover, we are interested in interviewing different practitioners in the natural health fields, and we do have a couple of good interviews coming up, and a couple of
or yourself, waiting in the wings. A practitioner.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be other people. It could be one of you who are listening right now.
Good point.
Just do it.
Email us. Yes, email us. Again, that is pathsofempowerment@gmail.com. So shoot us an email, and yeah, we would love to have a conversation because, you know, it's fun to talk to other people besides just ourselves.
Well, I can talk to myself continuously. It's just great, Becky, but no, it's more fun to share. So
it is.
Get out there because our words are powerful. That's what our next book is about.
Ooh, I'm so excited about this. So the book we're going to cover now is The Hidden Messages in Water by Dr. Emoto. Oh my gosh. This is so good. It's been a while since I've read it.
Me too, so.
Oh my goodness. Basically, this book is about a guy who decided to photograph water in frozen states and see what it looked like. So this is what he did. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read just this little section to you. So what he figured out was that... Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I just want to get the right spot.
The right words that you were thinking of.
Get the right spot.
The right page. Yeah, because the books are beautiful too, because it has pictures of the crystals when you get so the photography.
It's been out for a while, so you can pick it up at a used bookstore, perhaps get it.
Google it, and there'll be pictures of it, and I'm sure there's YouTube videos. And
oh, absolutely!
Yeah. I think the pictures are just beautiful. It speaks more than the words, because the words create the pictures, but go from there.
Basically his message is that water has a consciousness that can be altered through intention, and what the photographs of the frozen water show in a nutshell is when he set an intention with water or attached a word to a glass of water. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, Shelley. Say he had one glass of water labeled with the word stupid, and he had another glass of water labeled with love. He would let that water sit, holding the intention of those words on the glass. Then he would take some drops of water from each glass. He would freeze it in a petri dish for 3 hours. He'd take the dish out of the freezer,
I believe it was frozen at
it's just something astronomically fast and strong. That's all I know.
Right. So then he takes the dish out. He shines a light on it, exposing the drops of ice. He then photographs the ice crystals through the microscope. So he had about 20 to 30 seconds before the ice would start to melt. So he worked quickly. But it was amazing what came out of these photographs. So what he would find is that when water had been exposed to negative words,
the vibration.
We'll get there. I'm already to the end of the parade. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So the basis is that the water that came from the glasses with the negative words on it could not form beautiful crystals. They couldn't form crystalline structures that were symmetrical. They would just get kind of blobby and nothing matched. However, when he would take photographs of the frozen water that had words of positive meaning, like love or peace, he photographed the most beautiful structures in the water, which I suppose somehow relates to sacred geometry, and that's a topic for another
podcast. Oh yeah, there's fun stuff. Keep it to the water.
Exactly. So basically, what did this show? This showed that our words themselves carry vibration. Now, I don't think that that's too far out of the realm of mainstream possibility, given what we know about today's technology. Of course our words carry a vibration, but the meaning behind the words also puts a vibration onto that word. So in other words, like you said earlier, our intent behind the word carries an energy through those words into our world and becomes manifest. And in this case, they were able to photograph it through water. Is that not the craziest thing?
And then there's also pictures of the different kinds of music, what beautiful crystals for, you know, classical music and different, and then going from country music, and then there was rock music, and then headbanger music and rap, and showing what the crystals presented themselves from those vibrations.
Yes.
So it's
fascinating.
And just think, we are vibrations.
We are also 70% water. Yes. Here, so what does that tell us? Again, biology of belief. If words carry energy, and the energy of those words can affect water, and we are made up of a lot of water, guess what? We can change our biology
with words. Such, I'll give an example, because I know you probably do this, or have you seen other people do it? I used to do it all the time. Now I'm back putting love on my water bottles. You know, love and light on my water bottles, and then adding the person's name. So love and light for that person, that client that's coming to see me, just to add a little extra vibration.
And you know what? That's so easy and yet really, really powerful. In fact, I was just looking. Dr. Emoto believes that drinking water while holding a feeling of love and gratitude in your heart will change you. How simple is that?
And so our food is made out of water. So that's where prayer comes from. You're cleaning the vibration. You're changing the vibration of the food with your words.
Right. So blessing your food, that prayer before your meal, it is absolutely powerful. It is absolutely powerful to show gratitude and love. It changes the whole vibration of food. I've got a really funny story about this.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. It's just a shining example of how a vibration can be carried through our food. All right, so way back in the day when I was in massage school, my teacher told me a story about he and his wife. They were both, they were actually founders of a Blue Sky School of Professional Massage and Body Work out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Grafton, Wisconsin. Shameless plug. Mm-hmm. Wonderful school. Anywho, they told me that they were driving to an event. They did not have time to stop. They were on a time crunch. The wife, whose name I cannot remember, is vegetarian. So a little more challenging to find food on the road. Not a problem. They found a Taco Bell. So they go through the drive-thru. They order their food. Blair gives his wife her bean and cheese burritos, whatever that was. It was a bean and cheese burrito, I believe. And, you know, they're in a rush, so they're back on the freeway. They're on their way. And she opens it up, and she says, I cannot eat this. And he's like, what are you talking about? What's wrong with it? Did they not make it correctly? Did they put meat on it? She's like, no, I cannot eat this burrito because there is so much negative energy attached to it. She's like, whoever made this burrito is angry. And she said, if I eat this, I am going to get sick. And Blair is just thinking, and this is fairly early on in their marriage, and, you know, an eye roll is the least of his reaction to his wife's dilemma. And so he's like, you have got to be kidding me. And so he's like, all right, you prove this to me. And he just didn't believe her. They turn around. They go back to that very same Taco Bell. He's like, maybe I can get you something else. I don't know. So this time he parks the car and he goes in to this restaurant. And sure enough, the person prepping the food is having a terrible day and letting everyone in the building know. He is slamming things down. He's yelling at people. He's clearly extremely angry. So Blair goes back out to the car, very humbled by this experience, and drives on and finds a McDonald's where she can get a salad and she can pick off the meat. Moral of story, she felt she was, you know, in tune enough. And I think some of us are, we just don't know that
I think people are, we just tune it out.
Yeah.
Because I'm just being silly. So there goes that violation of belief. I'm just being silly because then I'm not listening and trusting what I'm getting. Mm-hmm. My responses, my feedback is telling me there's something that's wrong, but I'm mm-hmm. saying that's just silly. That can't be. See, and there's yeah. our mixed messages. Mm-hmm. So look mm-hmm. at what the water's telling us with its messages, or, you know, your vibration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so powerful.
So powerful. Look at that. I'm skimming through this other book as you were talking. How bad of me okay. is that? But I was listening to your it's story. But bad. I do remember you telling me that story before. Emoto has another book, Love Thyself, but it has more pictures in it, and they're pretty beautiful.
Okay.
And this kind of goes along with the whole thing you're saying, the word imagine, and it shows the crystals, the beautiful crystals, and it shows like five crystals, it says this crystal, I'm going to read it. This crystal was exposed to the song Imagine by John Lennon. Like the words of the song, it's a beautiful and unique crystal where each individual grows freely with perfect harmony. And
ooh.
Yeah, and I've included the lyrics. So maybe take the time to go listen to this song, Imagine by John Lennon. And you know what I mean? And what because it's like a prayer.
Yes.
So that's why a lot of people, you know, this was a powerful, powerful, the words. And it's a prayer.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm getting the point across there, but the crystals are beautiful. I wish I could show you the picture, but I thought it was interesting. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five individual crystals with the word imagine from that song, Imagine. So,
wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Imagine. That's powerful.
And water's beautiful. Look at the different forms it can be.
Mm-hmm. And didn't he do some experiments in an area of water that had been...
Yes.
Was that in Japan?
Perhaps? Yes, it was Japan where they had, it was just not healthy. The water wasn't healthy. And then they started doing prayers over it.
Yeah, wasn't it like in a river or something? And they kept taking samples over a long period of time. And as they kept putting intention into the water, of slowly but surely those water samples, using that same process of freezing and photographing, in the beginning they did not form crystals. They tried, but mm-hmm. they did not. They couldn't.
And I think
the water.
Yeah.
I think there were efforts to clean up the pollution in that particular body of water as well.
Of the people by the water also.
Yes. Yeah. But the intent of the, but when the water was given the intent that it needed, the water changed.
Yes.
I mean, incredible, incredible. We are so powerful. That's what,
see, that's words what I want. Do hurt.
They really do.
Or really they do really build.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, you know that old saying, sticks and stones might break your bones, but never hurt you. I think the other way around, because sticks and stones, you can understand breaking bones, but in this, we can't understand that the words, they get into our subconscious and make belief systems. Mm-hmm. They're like a virus that someone threw into your computer system, and then keep replaying and replaying and replaying. And to change it,
right?
It takes a lot. It takes. I shouldn't say a lot of work, because you can shift it if you're aware.
Right.
You can shift a belief system if you're totally ready to surrender and shift it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's just catching yourself. You know, like if I do something around the house. If I drop something and I broke something, you know, I'm sure that I have told myself, oh, Becky, that was so stupid. Well, now I stop and I say, I take that back. It's like, oh, that was unfortunate. But just building that awareness allows you to change that self-talk.
And you know what? I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, just the action of being aware that, hey, you just said something that was not kind. And then you can just say, stop, or replace it very quickly with, Becky, you're wonderful. You know, and I know people sometimes think, oh, that's so new agey and so woo-hoo. Try it for 8 days. Try
or
it.
Look in the mirror and say, I love
look
you.
In the mirror.
Right? Look in the mirror. That is tough, but it's powerful. You know, and we've been talking about this. It reminded me, and it goes with the biology belief, and it does go with about water, because we were talking about bodies. And I just, while you were talking, I just had a blurb in my mind of a belief that I had an uh-huh. With when I was getting body work done with the elbow in my back, about my belief that I had to work really hard to let go of stuff for other people, instead of realizing I had the big uh-huh with that elbow, because I saw myself in a crystal cell, just locked in there, locked in a cell, like a cell both ways, a cell, a prison cell, and a cell, mm-hmm. a biological cell, frozen in water, locked in that frozen state, with a belief, and this is all came like rushing at me all at once, instantaneously. So describing it takes longer than it actually happened, if that makes sense. And that's why it's so hard for me to talk, because things are so instant for me that how do you explain all this stuff when it's just a big blurb in my head?
It's like an instant download.
And
it's
so
like
for me, that's why I have Becky, because she interprets my babble. So so I'm very appreciative to her. But my belief that was stuck in there was my belief, I was frozen in my cell is what I got, that I had to do this so I could help others. And I'm going, whoa. That was a belief that I got to look at when that was my pain. I was holding that because I believed a thing like that. Who knows where it came from? I don't know. Don't care to know. I'm sure it doesn't matter. But what it gave me awareness at that point, literally at that point of that elbow in my back, to realize, oh, what if I could just do this for me and melt into this and let this go? So that's where the shift, when things pop up, sometimes it's just that way. Sometimes it's when you're getting whatever kind of body work and you get an aha. And then you're able to let it go because someone is holding the space for you, creating the environment, which is the biology of belief. You're creating the environment so the person is, or I was able to let it go and you felt safe. And the fluidity with the safe environment, we're over 75% water, all those two things coincide together.
You know, that's so interesting. And like you said, you can have a change of awareness and a change of perspective can instantaneously change a habit or change a belief about yourself. In fact, I've been reading quite a bit of material in preparation for my hypnosis certification classes that I'll be starting later this month. Super excited about that. But in that, one of the authors that was Sherry's stories is like, as soon as you are able, say for example, see a phobia from a different perspective, like watching yourself watch a movie, and when you can step out of yourself and realize that, oh wow, there is a totally different healthy way to look at this reaction.
What is a better way to what is a better healthier way?
And he said, when people are able to see a situation from a different perspective, he has seen people instantly lose their phobias.
See, then you have to let go of the outcome. Let go of the outcome.
Yeah, they're like, wait a second.
Because you can't be attached to the outcome.
Choice for something
it's not
better.
Being attached to the outcome. Because when we're so attached to the outcome.
Yes. Do you feel like we've just gone down a rabbit hole? Should we pull it back?
We got to 21 minutes there. So I think we could probably end it almost somewhere in there. Don't you think so?
Yes. Oh, I just want to say that, if we can summarize with something that people can try it.
Okay.
Like take a glass of water at home. Put a little post-it note on this glass of water and write something inspiring on it. What do you need? What word makes your heart feel warm? How about that? Whatever word that is. Peace, joy, love, forgiveness.
Rainbows.
Rainbows.
I mean, it doesn't have to like be flowers. Maybe you can keep it light.
Yeah, but if you can do that and have that, use that designated glass and fill that cup every day and hold on to that cup and look at that word that you've placed on that glass of water and just hold it in your heart and just think about that word. Give it 10 seconds, just a little tiny bit of attention, and then drink that water and do this for a week. And I'll do it too.
Okay. Is that your challenge?
Yes,
to imagine?
That's my challenge for all of our listeners.
and you know, do it for a week. Pick your word, put it on a glass, and every morning drink something from that glass, or sometime during the day. Let's not make this complicated. Just drink from the glass, you know.
At some point, everybody has water bottles. Everybody has that nowadays. Yes, so just exactly. Add it to whatever you're. You know what? I'm even going to just say my coffee or tea. You know what? Yes. Just get a little crazy
because
with that.
Because you need water to make coffee.
Yeah, right. You know, liquid. Keep it simple. Don't say, oh, I didn't do it on my water.
That's right. Becky is
let's
going
do water.
To.
We'll just make it a little, you know. Okay. I like to fudge the lines a little bit.
Yeah. We play fast and loose, right? Is that what we're doing?
What was that?
We play fast and loose. Is that a thing?
Oh, fast and loose. Yeah. Okay. You're funny.
So on that note. Right. We're putting a good word on our beverage of choice.
And then, you know what, if you want to share,
please share. And also I just, a little side note here, as I was looking back titles that Dr. Emoto had written, I found a book called that also by Emoto called Water Crystal Healing, Music and Images to Restore Your Well-Being.
Oh,
guess what?
Is that an aqua color one?
Yeah. In my Amazon cart, and I'm about to proceed to checkout. So
I had that one. I had that one. Whoever has that, I'd like that one back.
Oh, because it gives. So what I liked about it was that it gives specific music to listen to, and crystal images of water crystals that you can look at while you're listening to the music. You know, we should really talk about the, you know, sound healing. That should be on.
Well, that'll be the next, you know, so note to self.
Note to
vibration.
Yeah, love it. Okay, so
on that note
I got it.
We're gonna call it good night.
All right, wonderful. Thanks for everyone for joining us. Please send us a message at empowerment@gmail.com. You can leave us a voice message through the Anchor app when you find our podcast. And we will be on Instagram soon. So we will see you soon. And until next time, love and light.
Yes.